You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you want to try a free trial, go to the website builtforthestage.com or click the link in the description of this episode and you can work for 7 days with your own Broadway fitness coach on an online app. So check it out. No catch, no gimmicks. BuiltForTheStage.com. If you like Built for the Stage podcast, please rate, subscribe, and leave a comment. It'd be greatly appreciated. All right, please enjoy this conversation. All right, well, let's get a little bit into like the acting and performing part. So you started dancing at six. Who and how and what, you know, how did that all happen?
You know, my sister was actually a dancer, recreationally. And I have my sister Haley, she's 4 years older than me. And she would kind of just go to classes. So At first I was kind of the brother who would have to go with mom to, you know, there. And so I would go to the dance studio all the time. And finally they basically said, hey, we're going to start like a boys thing. And does he want to take a tap class? And I just kind of also tried it recreationally. Little did I know that it was about to kind of, you know, be the next 20 plus years, 25 plus years of my life. And that's really what I love about it, though, is because I just started because, you know, I was going to take a class. Next thing I know, I was passionate about it. Next thing I know, it was like it turned into some other things. And it was just a giant snowball effect. So, you know, if it really wasn't for me even being introduced to that, and if it also wasn't for my family, who they just were very supportive. They kind of constantly said, you know, that's awesome. Like, if you like this, keep doing it. And then it just kind of kept turning into other things and other things.
So you never took a break from it. You started at six and you never veered off.
No, I did. I mean, I think a lot of times in life, as you're growing up, you know, other things happen. So like I did it from probably six until like 17, and I was straight competition dancer. So, you know, I had a dance teacher named Christy, who is like a second mom to me. I mean, she really took me under her arm and really was my dance teacher, you know, throughout my whole life until I moved to LA. But there was times where, yeah, I took a year off for, you know, high school things. Or when I was 17, I actually wanted to be in a band and I was a singer at that time. And so, you know, I took some time off to pursue that. And then there was other times where I was doing community theater in Dallas. And so I took a little bit of time off for that. So it was never consecutively, but I will have to say that, you know, since I was 6 years old, I haven't stopped dancing, but there was definitely breaks.
Like for, you know, kids wanting to do musical theater or be an actor or even audience members that come to see the show. You know, if you're one of the kids that's studying and doing shows or whatever, it's one thing to do a 2 week run or a show for one weekend. You know, it's another thing to be on Broadway doing 7-8 shows a week for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, especially a physical show like you just did with SpongeBob, and doing that day in and day out for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, six, a year, 2 years, depending on the show. And it's no walk in the park, mentally or physically.
A lot of people think what we do is fun. And I will say, yes, you are correct. It is fun. But it is a job. Every single morning, what you eat, what you put into your body, what you do at the gym, and then what you do in dance class all kind of wraps itself up. My best advice is, if you're good at it, that's awesome, keep that up. But you have to focus on what you're bad at. Because if you're not focusing on where you lack, then that, you know, where you lack, if you can make that a strength too, It's going to help you book a job.
In your Instagram bio, your profile, it says, God is good and faithful. What does that mean to you?
Boom. All right. This is my life. Faith is first. So I talk about the five F's, my five F's are for my career and for my everyday life. It's faith, fitness, food, friends, family. Those are the five things that keep me going every single day. Now you might say, okay, well, faith is first, but why do you put family last? It's not last. They're bookends for me. And everything in between is the most important thing. Now, let me rephrase that. Faith and family are the most important things. But without that, I wouldn't have everything else in between. And so for me, a lot of people go on in this life and they go in an audition and they walk out and they freak out about it. And they're on Instagram and they're like, I just had an audition and this and that. And there's so much anxiety already in the world. And that for me, yeah, I deal with anxiety in other ways. But for me in my career and in with my family and with my friends, I just kind of go, hey, whatever God has planned, that's what he has planned, you know? And if I'm not supposed to get that show, I'm not supposed to get that show. If I'm supposed to be in this show and I have the worst audition, I'm going to walk out, and I call it the walk and forget. I walk out of auditions and I forget about it instantly, because I know if I'm supposed to be a part of it and if I'm supposed to be in that show, then it's going to be, you know? And I feel like a lot of times, for me at least, I am living for something else. I'm not living for my career. I'm living for my wife. I'm living for my family. I'm living for my friends. And that all comes from faith.
All right, so film and TV, you were mentioning you were in LA for a little bit there, or maybe a lot of it, I don't know. You did some stuff like Annie. You did Vinyl on HBO, Glee, Gossip Girl, Nurse Jackie. You were like a football player dancer in a Madonna video where she was like getting shot at. It was very kind of weird, but yeah, you guys should check that out. You even choreographed for Orange is the New Black, I saw, which was really cool.
It was awesome, yeah.
So I just listed all that. A lot of big stuff there. You know, tell me some of that, like your experiences you picked up, because obviously the theater world is much different. So yeah, just anything you got, just for us out there.
You know, it's cool because I spent 2 years in LA, and I thought I was going to stay in LA. And then I had an opportunity to come with my two best friends. I was living with my two best friends, Hunter and Mike, at the time. And they were both very successful at what they do. One's an actor, the other one is a musician. And so what was really cool about it was, I'm living in LA, I'm doing TV and film, and I thought that's what my career was gonna be. And if you had asked me back then, will you ever go to New York City? I probably would have been like, no, I'm not going to New York City. You know, I'm living in LA and I'm doing all this. And then I had the opportunity to come out here for about 6 months, and I had the same, my agency had an LA office and a New York office. So I came out to New York because I was like, well, if I'm living in LA, just going to auditions, sure, I should try it. I should be open and I should try these different things. Came to New York City, and my old love of theater, being able to sing and dance, it just kind of happened. And my buddies moved back to LA after the 6 months, and then I stayed. And it's been 8 years now that I've been here. And for me, the reason I love New York City is it brought something that I didn't really ever think that I had planned. I didn't know that I was gonna do Broadway. I liked community theater, but I was already making a living as a dancer in LA. And so for me, I was like, man, this is great. Then fast forward, come to New York, and I book Soul Doctor, which was my first off-Broadway show. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is cool. And then that moved to Broadway, and it just opened a whole nother world. I still love TV and film, and I still love doing, having opportunities to choreograph and having opportunities to, you know, do movies and stuff like that. I think the best part about what we do is, you know, there's opportunity all over the place to either do stage, and if I don't have a stage job right now, like, my agents have been sending me out on TV and film stuff. So it's cool to be able to have like a little bit of a diverse, like, oh, I'm going to try to do things here and I'm going to do things here. And then ultimately you end up, you know, with whoever, you know, writes the paycheck.
Yeah. You brought up Soul Doctor. So tell me about that experience. I know it was a very unique one, and,
Yeah. Well, you know, this is not a hidden secret that Soul Doctor was not a long running show. And so a lot of times a lot of times when I say Soul Doctor was my first Broadway show, they kind of go, oh, then they kind of like laugh. And because, you know, people know, and especially if you're in the Broadway world, people know about what shows are open and what shows they close. Shows always open and they close. A show that's been open for 7 years, there's a day that it's going to close. A show that's been open for a month, it could run a year, it could run 10 years. You just never know in this industry. But Soul Doctor for me was actually an incredible experience. And the reason why is because it was my Broadway debut. And you can't take that away. I don't care if it was only 3 months of performances and we didn't get nominated and didn't do anything. I was on a Broadway stage, and to me, that was a huge check mark. I also met some of the greatest people. A little shout out to my girl Vasti Mompoint, who's one of my best friends in New York City. Another person that kind of took me under the wing. I mean, the girl's killing it. She is literally, she might hate me for saying this, but I think she is like on Broadway show number 9 right now. And so I met her on that show, and I got to do SpongeBob with her. So it's just cool, like, to meet these people and to have these relationships where you're going, you know, it wasn't the greatest show, but it was a great experience because I met people, I had a Broadway debut, and, you know, I think sometimes your experience is more important than the show itself, because, you know, the show, whether it runs or closes, is not up to you. So you might as well dive in with your cast, be a family, and take that away, because eventually your show will close.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing you're saying right there to take is, like, it's not always about the end result, but it's about the journey.
Totally. And that's how I live my life, or try to, at least. You know, where am I, you know, people always say, well, where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you want to be in 10 years? I'm like, I don't even know what I want to do tomorrow. I just want to be present today. I want to try to make the best of today. And, you know, because who knows? 2 years, 3 years from now, I may not even be in this industry. We never know what happens in life, and we never know what chapter, you know, we're about to be taken into. So for me, it's like, enjoy your time, enjoy your show, enjoy that part, because you may never play it again.
And then talk a little bit about your next show you book on Broadway is Finding Neverland, right?
Correct.
Yeah. What was going on in between that time of the closing of Soul Doctor and then the being cast in Neverland?
So once Soul Doctor went to Broadway and then it closed right after, actually Hurricane Sandy happened, and so I actually left for a little bit because my building was 4 feet underwater. So I actually left. I took a little break from New York City, and then when I came back, I just jumped in with a vocal coach because I knew that I was really strong as a dancer, but I knew that I was kind of lacking in voice. I had always been a singer, but I had never been trained as a singer. And I had taken like voice classes as a kid and taken like voice classes as a teenager, But now as an adult, I wasn't taking classes. And I think our voice and our bodies are constantly changing, that it's important to constantly keep training, both in the gym, both vocally, acting wise, everything is constantly changing. So then I got involved in Finding Neverland, had an awesome cast, went over to ART with that, and then unfortunately that's where I was injured. And I tore a hamstring during that show. And it was a hard time in my life, just because, you know, I was working with, you know, these amazing people and this amazing cast, and I thought that I was at the height of my career. To have a setback like that, I was like, what is happening? Little did I know that I was, you know, really, you know, not supposed to get hurt, but things happen in life, and the lows, you know, sometimes make your highs even better. And so I would really say that in that year, or, you know, of fully getting back and healing, I did a lot of like heart building, heart training, mind training, lifting, stretching, singing. And then, you know, from that point on, I've actually had a better career since then. And so I look at that, and some people would go, man, that was a dark cloud, or man, that was a bad time, huh? And I look at it and I say, yeah, but I'm so glad it happened, because it made me a better person now. It made me a better performer. It made me stronger mentally, physically, and emotionally.
What was the time period from the injury until you kind of recovered and maybe booked your next show? Was your next show or next gig SpongeBob, or was there stuff in between?
Well, I was out of the show for 8 weeks, and then I went back in the show, but my hamstring was not healed. And if anybody has ever dealt with a injury, every injury is different. Some of them take 6 weeks, some of them take 6 months, some of them you will feel for 6 years or forever. So after Finding Neverland, that was probably my longest time. There was probably about almost a year and a half before SpongeBob Chicago started happening.
Have you ever had the thoughts of quitting, like in those lulls of not booking? Have you been like, I'm done with this, I'm hanging it up?
Yeah, I had that thought this morning.
Okay, yeah, tell me about it, because like in fitness, it's a journey, right? It's rented, it's not owned, just like being an actor. You booking a gig is not owned. It's not, I booked this gig, I'm going to work here at this show for 30, 40 years, retire, and then be good. Like, you know, a quote-unquote normal person. You have to keep earning that fitness, earning that career in acting or performing. So, like, tell me about that mindset of, like, the times you were like, I'm done. Or, like, right now, like, you have to basically reboot and get back to the grind.
Yeah, the reason I said, you know, I'm kind of joking when I said I thought about it this morning. The reason that I say that is because it's this industry that I chose, this industry that we chose, this industry that you, the listener, you know, might choose. It's mentally tough. And I think what people don't understand is, you know, they look at people's Instagrams, they look at people's Facebooks, they look at people in shows, and they go, man, what an incredible, amazing life they live. And we do. It's awesome. But I think the thing that people don't understand is that growing up, at least for me, my dad worked, my mom worked, and, you know, my dad had the same job for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. And so when people think that I'm going to go and I'm going to do this job, that it's just going to be this long-running thing. I have to tell people who don't understand our industry, I get fired and hired from jobs more than the average person, right? Like a job opens, a job closes, and then I'm back to the grind. And it's a very humbling experience to, like, even with what I just did with SpongeBob, incredible opportunity, right? Probably the highlight of my career. I got to perform in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I've watched that since a kid. I got to perform on the Tonys. That, to me, was like winning a Super Bowl ring. It was just, it was so fulfilling. But now, as I talk to you, I'm unemployed, and I'm back in the audition circuit. And that's a humbling thing, because, you know, 5-6 weeks ago, I'm in it. I'm doing what everybody in our industry is wanting to do. Now, I am back to also doing what everybody in the industry wants to do. And I don't... And I think that sometimes people aren't mentally prepared for that. And I will tell you, it brings me back to faith a little bit about, because of that, I've been chill. Now, it hasn't been hard. But if you are not mentally, physically, and ready to be turned away thousands of times, this industry and this city, and I don't mean to be harsh, will chew you up and spit you out. And I've felt like it is. I've literally felt like I'm in the mouth of it going, oh my gosh, it's chewing me and spitting me out. And then I just push through. I know I'm supposed to be here. I know I keep training, and then the next thing always comes.
So if it's always the next thing and the next thing, and nothing is permanent, fulfillment-wise, where do you seek that you know, true fulfillment? What keeps you, you know, going and saying, I'm supposed to be here? What is that one thing that is keeping you going?
Well, I mean, it just goes back to my five F's. My five F's of faith, family, friends, food, fitness. You know, I think a lot of times in life, people who work a 9-to-5 job, you know, it's awesome because they have stability and they have all this. But I also think there's a part of some of them that sit there and they're like, you know, I do the same thing every single day, every single day. For me, it's exciting. This industry is exciting because, like, it's, you know, I don't know. I could book a movie and be in Montana in a month. For me, when I am down, meaning when I am unemployed and when I am trying to find the next thing, I turn to what makes me the happiest. And that's my wife, that's my friends, that's my family, that's my faith. And so I just look at it as, you know, this time I'm supposed to train, I'm supposed to work hard, and I'm supposed to pour into all these other people. And I truly think every performer, every actor knows when you're supposed to shut the door. You know, I don't know if I'm going to do this for the next 30 years, but I know that I'm supposed to be here right now. I'm supposed to be in the city right now. I'm supposed to be training. I'm supposed to be getting ready for the next thing. And if God has a different plan for me, then great. I'm excited to know what that is, you know, but for right now, I'm here and I'm supposed to be here. SpongeBob and Fiddler, you know, SpongeBob went to Chicago prior, and at the same time, I was actually in auditions for Fiddler, and I was at the same time kind of offered a position at Fiddler, and I was offered a position at SpongeBob. And for me, I just kind of made a career choice right then and there that I was going to go to SpongeBob because it was an on-stage position. It was a featured part in SpongeBob. And so I kind of made that decision. Now, I thought, and this is, you know, another reason I think that, you know, if things are meant to be, things are meant to be and will happen. I thought maybe, oh, dang, you know, I didn't take the Fiddler position, you know, I think I probably burned a bridge, you know, or something like that. And I get back from Chicago SpongeBob, and I took about a week off, and I'm in the middle of a lake on a jet ski. I got my phone, like, in a plastic baggie, you know, in my pocket, and it keeps, like, you know, like, vibrating, and I'm like, well, I don't want to pull it out. So finally, I stop the jet ski, I like pull down, and it's my agents. And they're like, can you come back to New York? You're starting Fiddler on stage track. They need a replacement. And I was like sitting in the middle of the lake, and I just kind of like, I was so excited because I thought, you know, by passing the first time to do SpongeBob, I thought that I had, you know, that I was not going to have a chance. And little did I know that, you know, 6 months later, it came back to me. And so I got to go into that. And that was just an incredible experience. One of the best dancing experiences of my life. The choreographer, Hofes Schechter, is just a super modern dancer. And he just created some beautiful work. And it's an iconic show. I mean, you got the, you know, you got the bottle dance number, you got L'Chaim, you got all these numbers. So to be able to do that show and fulfill the role, this guy named Brant Martinez, he just created an awesome track. And so to fill in, you know, when he left off was just a cool experience. And yeah.
And that'll do it with JC Schuster. You can check out JC on his website, jcschuster.com. That's jcschuster.com. Or go to his Instagram, jc_Schuster. If you like the episode, remember, please rate it, subscribe it, leave a comment. Also, if you want help matching that Broadway talent to a new Broadway body, go to the website, BuiltForTheStage.com, or go to the Instagram at BuiltForTheStage and DM me. All right, until next time, it's me, Roscoe, signing off.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SuppsMusical.com.